Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zachar Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is another beautiful day. We're standing here on the wall praying for this nation and the Office of the President. And today I want to really highlight what's going on in the Lord's kingdom. Sometimes we focus on the natural because it's things are right here in our face. But I think more importantly, even though there is this darkness, the Lord is causing those who have this brave heart, who have a humble, repentant heart before him to be raised up in this season. You know, last season, we saw a lot of the dividing, the sheep versus the goat, sheep versus goat nations, a lot of that being dealt with. And now you're seeing those who have the strong foundation step forward. And those who didn't realize they stood on this strong foundation, realizing, oh, I need to step forward now for the future of myself and that of my family and those around me, my communities. And so today, the verse of the day I want to highlight is, and we want to talk about, is really two chapters. And it's John 20 and 21. So the end of John, the story of Jesus being risen from the dead and the empty tomb. It starts there. Then you have going into Doubting Thomas, the disciples come and see Mary coming to see. And then you see the disciples going back to what they did before they walked with Jesus and learned with him for those years. They went back to fishing and making a living after Jesus' death. And then we see Jesus meet the disciples who he called and showed them how to prosper in the future. And one portion I want to point out is the very ending of John 21, where it talks about this. I want to show it here, where it says here, it says, "This is the disciple who is testifying, John, to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." And so we see here that the disciples were shown what to do in this next season, and more so to be reminded, because they saw things through their journey with Jesus that I think we would be amazed at ourselves. But for us here in today's day and age, what we want to look at and we want to listen for is listen for the call of the Lord on how to proceed for our future. And the whole journey of going through this reordering their day book is in order to focus us on what the Lord would have for our future. Yes, you know, would we like to sometimes go back and redo things? Obviously, we're humans. We make mistakes. But we can't get so focused on the past that we get stuck there. Get stuck with the burdens, get stuck with the anger, the frustrations. Is we have to use those failures in the past as a springboard towards the future to learn from them and move on and help others along the way who might be able to, you being that person to prevent them from going down that road, help them from having to spin that cycle that they would. Now, does it mean everybody will listen to you? No. But I digress. And the point is to let's start looking towards the future. Okay, we repent for this our sins of the past. But now let's move forward what the Lord has called us to do, because there's a greater work for us in the future than in the past, because there's literally nothing we can do about the past. So We want to focus on that of looking towards the future of, you know, obviously you want to reflect a little bit and remember those things that the Lord has provided for us, the miracles he has done. But the mistakes is using them as a learning lesson and not just staying focused on trying to redo them. Now, with that being said, a beautiful thing that happened this weekend was I talked a little bit about it yesterday. We heard the news of the terrorist attack in Israel from ISIS leaders, and ISIS is now claimed responsibility for it. But while that was at the same time this type of stuff was happening, we saw the Abraham Accord countries, the UAE, Egypt, meet in Israel for what was called the Negev Summit. And pretty much every country who was there, Bahrain, Morocco, condemned the inhumane terrorist attacks. And look, this shows the beauty of these countries can, when given an opportunity, come together, and God can use this for a purpose to potentially spread the gospel, have them open up for freedom. Obviously, they want to do this for some economic and strategic reasons nationally. They want to stand up against Iran. These Arab countries do not want to stand with the Ayatollahs of Iran continuing this, I guess the best way to say it would be persecution of even their own people and friends, families in other nations. And so we're seeing that even in, you know, this crazy world that we're now living in with wars and rumors of wars and et cetera, that the fruits of the last season under Trump and under those who are in that administration, while it's not perfect, it's a step in the right direction. And so we're seeing the fruits of that even in this season. And that's what I want to point out is while all this is going on, God's kingdom is still thriving. There's fruits that are coming out of this, and because of the brave hearts of the last season and this season. And it still takes a brave heart for these countries to do this, to go to Israel and meet with them and build this relationship with Israel. It's talked about how before Naftali Bennett, Prime Minister of Israel, went to some of these countries, it was the first time a Jew was there and a representative from Israel was there. Now it's the first time these countries are sending representatives to Israel because of the fear that was on them before of, and the older leaders of these countries, of Iran and the Ayatollahs there. But now we're seeing that breaking of that principality. And that's why you're seeing now a rise up of that Amalek spirit, the Prince of Persia, et cetera, now in the days ahead. Now, I'm going to move on to some interesting news out of Ukraine. Basically, the short story is a few people who were negotiating peace negotiations between Russia and Ukraine have been what's believed to be some type of poisoning, which is not out of the norm for Russia. And there's a article from the Daily Mail out of the UK that shows the historical evidence of Putin opponents who have been poisoned, former presidential candidate as well for Russia has been poisoned. And so we're seeing this play out, which I think is very interesting. There's also rumors that potentially Ukraine has a list of names of those who are spies involved in the war, and that's been released and all this stuff. And there's a lot of stuff going on. The battles are still raging on. Again, I talked about it yesterday. There hasn't really been any major updates other than the fact that Russian troops have pulled back to Belarus. They're still there. They're regathering for possibly another incursion onto Ukraine. Mariupol has now been told to evacuate. It's completely decimated, and that's what Russia wanted to do. Wanted to decimate it to the point, no water, no electricity, and then eventually Ukrainians leave, people, military, and they just go in and take it. They want the east-west Ukraine, like east-west Germany, for a host of reasons. So we're seeing them trying to gather up. But what we want to focus on today is some alarming news out of our administration in the fact that Biden, again, has come out and contradicted his own aides and staff on what he has said over this past weekend. And he even, I mean, it's the whole cheat sheet thing of talking points. Like, we've known rumors of that this is happening, but now to see such a clear photo in the president's hand, this is a great picture. It's very clear. That is not photoshopped whatsoever. This is very alarming. That they literally have to type out what, number one, he knows the questions that they're going to ask. He knows the type of questions, and you know, this is smart press secretaries. They're rounded enough. They can, his aides, they know what type of questions they're going to ask because they're taught to think in the opposing view. Sometimes in the past, they've given those questions, leaked them to the media. Hey, you need to ask this. This is alarming to see this, knowing the mental state that he's in. And I want to play a clip from the interactions that he had with Peter Ducey, because it's a great interaction from Peter and the president, because Peter shows a very well restrained for how he's interacting with the president, because he has to work with these people on a daily basis, and he's trying to get a response from some of the things that he said. And it's a great interaction. And sorry, I'm trying to get through the ads, and it's showing a good way of how to respond to those who you may disagree with, whatever, have some concerns. And what's sad is the president's response. So it's about a minute and a half clip, but I want to play the whole thing, because about halfway through is the point I really want to focus on. But let's start off here.
Are you worried that other leaders in the world are going to start to doubt that America is back if some of these big things that you say on the world stage keep getting walked back?
That's a great question, because I think this shows the power and responsibility of the office of the president. And look, if Joe Biden wasn't in a diminished mental state, this would still be a concern, because this is who Joe Biden is at his strongest. He says things off the cuff that you're like, what are you talking about? And number one, why would you say that? This is who he is in general. He's the jokester. He's the funny guy. That's not necessarily a good thing for somebody in this position. And Peter Ducey calls it out, and so have other people. And this is why the aides immediately made responses to what he said. And here's President Biden's response.
Walk back.
It made it sound like, just in the last couple of days, it sounded like you told U.S. troops they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon. And it sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia. And we know
None of the three occurred.
They did occur, but now let's clarify the fact that he's saying that. That's a problem. Just clarify what you said. What do you really mean by that?
You interpret the language that way. I was talking to the troops.
He's literally, all he's doing is quoting you. That's a very alarming to hear this from the president. He's not interpreting anything. He's just repeating what he said.
We're talking about helping train the troops in that are the Ukrainian troops that are in Poland. That's what the context. I sat there with those guys for a couple hours. That's what we talked about.
Next question and response is alarming.
So when you said you're going to see when you're there, you were not intending to
I was referring to with meeting with and talking with the Ukrainian troops.
Oh, well, let's let the ad play through.
A weapon use by Russia would trigger a response in kind.
This right here.
It will trigger a significant response.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to tell you. Why would I tell you? You got to be silly.
The world wants to know.
The world wants to know a lot of things. I'm not telling them what the response would be. Then Russia knows the response.
That's very alarming. Your response should be, I'm not, it's a matter of military secrets, national security. There's a host of other things he could have said. I'm not going to tell you, that's silly. And so this is why we need to pray for this administration, for the president during these moments of dementia. This is sad. The leader, quote unquote, of the free world, it is responding to legitimate questions of what do you mean by this? It sounds like this. And I want to highlight what Secretary of State Blinken said in response to what the president said about how Putin shouldn't stay in power. Biden's response was, well, morally, it's a moral outcry. He can't do it. But I just want to pay attention to, you know, we prophetic to what Blinken's saying and making sure, you know, we understand the full spectrum of what the administration's saying. And in response to that, in a press conference in Jerusalem, Blinken said this. He said, I think that the president, the White House, made the point last night that quite simply, President Putin cannot be in power to wage war or engage in aggression against Ukraine or anyone else. Adding, as you know, and as you've heard us say repeatedly, we do not have a strategy of regime change in Russia or anywhere else for that matter. In this case, as in any case, it's up to the people of that country in question. It's up to the Russian people. So it's interesting to see that. We're seeing – the reason I point that out is because we're seeing the administration be in line for national security measures. That's somewhat of a good thing. The fact that Biden's popping off and saying those things is quite an alarm. And he said some things, didn't back down off of what even his aide said. Kind of maneuvered around it and created a way for it to be more easy to swallow on the world stage. But the concern is acting in kind to biological weapons, which Jake Sullivan has said we're not doing. Blinken said we're not doing, which that's somewhat of a good thing. And then nuclear response, what happens then? Biden said this weekend, we're going to respond in kind. What does that mean? That this is why we need to intercede for this administration to have the fear of the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with the Ukraine, Russia issue, Israel, and China, as events in South China Sea are continuing to pop up, concerns for not only Japan, but our West Coast as well, and our partners over there in the South Asian portion of the world. And then also, let's continue to intercede for, while President Biden is still in office, his protection during his moments of dementia, from his aides, from the administration who we know are taking advantage of him, and are literally providing him talking points. They have to provide him talking points on a sheet of paper. And that is very, very sad. And yes, having him as president under this amount of pressure during this time of war, also, with the increased investigations and news concerns around the Hunter Biden laptop issue, which is not being reported by the mainstream media. And I'm not really diving into it here because it's nothing that really affects what goes on as far as the administration itself. It affects the president and the stress he's under, but I think that covers we cover that with the praying for this blanket protection, because that adds to the stress. That's going to add to his decreased expedition of him having moments of dementia and his staff being able to take advantage of him. So don't think that we don't think that that's not a big story. That is. It's just there's more things we want to focus on as far as the decisions that he's making, how the administration itself is affecting him, because we're praying for the office of the president. We want justice and truth to come out. Whatever is involved in that needs to come out, but we want to make sure that while he's in office, the decisions that he has the capability to make, that he's making the ones that the Lord would have him make. Now, been shown that he has a hardness of heart and he's going to do what he wants to do. That's up to him to be obedient to the Lord, and he's going to have to pay the price for that in front of the Lord and eternity. And at the end of the day, we want to stand for righteousness. We want to pray for justice, and we want to pray for those people who are in the White House who may disagree with the president to have the wisdom of the Lord to walk out their calling in this season, maybe to be that Esther in front of Haman, and also to be able to get healed. If there are others who might see that example, be healed, delivered, and have this awakening with the Lord to be able to walk out righteousness now and in the future to prevent some of this crazy things from anti-biblical agenda from being moved forward. Now, this week we talked about, we heard the news this weekend that supposedly the U.S. is going to increase supply of natural gas to Europe via the LNG portals. Well, what has now coming out through statements and analysts are saying that, well, it's really going to have to come from international suppliers, not just American suppliers, because we're at currently at the state we're in, we're at capacity. We can't export. We can't do anything more because of the cutting of the Keystone Pipeline, no sales on federal lands and in the Gulf of Mexico and elsewhere. So we're going to have to rely upon other international companies to be able to provide, Europe is more so, to be able to provide the supply that they need while this conflict with Russia and Ukraine goes on. So we're seeing a point where the president could be making decisions to help support and bolster and truly lower inflation, lower the economic possibility of a recession, and he's doing the exact opposite. And his administration is just plowing straight ahead to go forward with that. And then he says this yesterday. He says the budget that he is putting out is going to focus on fiscal responsibility, because supposedly they're lowering the deficit for 1 year. And that's the short term. That's the analysis that's been put out there. And a lot of the reason that they've lowered the budget deficit for 1 year is because of the increased COVID spending from the Trump administration's last two budgets. And this analysis is actually really good from the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, noted that because of the distributions of COVID refunds and funds, ultimately, the downward trend will only continue in the short term, and deficits are expected to grow over the next decade, because as you look at past budgets and what we're responsible for, based off of not just this budget that he just presented yesterday, I'm going to get to that here in a second, but because of things that have been promised in past budgets under Obama, under Trump, under Bush, under Clinton, that are starting to increase now, because the numbers start off slow and then they start to increase. And so we're seeing that play out. People who analyze this are saying the very same thing. Then there's the whole facade of the billionaire minimum income tax of 20% on households making over $100 million. $100 million, a billionaire, doesn't quite add up. It's a false flag there. And then also in this, you know, quote unquote, fiscally responsible budget that he's presenting. I'm presenting this because this is going to be a battle for the future. We talked about how last week Joe Manchin has talked about he wants to get something done before the midterms. He's willing to work with this administration to get something done. He's willing to cave on some of the things he said he wouldn't cave on. And so it's something to be aware of for the future. But I want to point this out because this is very key into this whole facade budget that they're proposing. And the Daily Mail puts it very poignantly of this budget has in it the largest increase in climate spending ever, with civilian climate corps, $10 billion for postal ballots to be sent for free, mail-in balloting. They're going to start pushing money towards that. One good thing is they are increasing money for police funding and stuff. Just cause for concern about how they're going to do it. Does that create more of a police state, et cetera? Very alarming. More money for the IRS. I think they're up to 10,000 agents. They're trying to get up to 87,000. That's their goal. So this budget of $5.8 trillion is just a slow increment of the Green New Deal being put in place because of the carbon or the quote-unquote clean energy, Green New Deal type stuff that is being put in. And understand this. This is only a small step in the direction of having it increase. Oh, we're going to cut the budget deficit this year. But next year, they're going to need to do more. And they're going to need to do more in the third year and the fourth year. And then what happens after that? where does it go from that? Are we so far down the road of this goal of 2030 of being quote unquote having the Green New Deal put in place that we're concerned about what's happening? And here's the issue is this administration thinks, completely thinks that this is a good thing, that this helps people, that government spending actually helps people, that raising taxes helps people, and it doesn't. And if you're following along in our reading plan yesterday in Nehemiah, it talks about how people were being taken advantage of because of the king's taxes that were put in place. So they were having to take out loans and mortgage their fields and sell off their sons and daughters into slavery to be able to pay for the taxes. And Nehemiah comes along and says, no, this is enough. You need to stop this. And you stop charging usury. And the English Standard Version title for Nehemiah 5, it says, Nehemiah stops oppression of the poor. And these increased taxes and increased inflation are oppression of not only the poor, but really all of Americans and the overall economy of the United States. And I want to point to an example of what righteous leadership does, like a Nehemiah that we have here in front of our very eyes, of removing usury interest for your fellow brothers in order to help them during this time of need. And the example I want to give is that of Virginia Governor Youngkin, of where he is signed a bill from a local legislature that would allow car taxes to be lowered so that people who are in tough financial times, who have used cars, et cetera, don't have to continue to pay these high amount of taxes as their cars are appreciating. Because right now the car market is just all over the place. I'm looking for a new car for my family, and I'm not buying a car right now because number one, the new cars are completely overpriced. Car companies know it. Used cars are overpriced, number one. And then most of the used cars around here and that I've found have 100,000, 150,000 miles on it. I'm not buying a car that's halfway dead. Give me 50, 70, maybe. But at that amount of usage, at the prices that there are, I could sell a car I have and I could make money. It's utterly ridiculous right now. And so what he's saying is that as these car prices are appreciating, we're going to lower the taxes so that these people don't have to pay this amount of taxes. And it's a good thing. It's a relief for everyday Virginians. And this is what righteous leadership looks like. This is what caring for your community looks like. This is what helping them get through this tough time looks like. And this is what righteousness from a leader stands, taking a stand looks like. And so we're seeing this on one example. And then we also have example out of Florida. But I want to point to this of in New Jersey, parents have become aware that without their knowledge, their children were being taught LGBTQ agenda, sex stuff. And then from this, they found out that the governor-elect has put in standards. I want to read this because this is very, very alarming of what is coming down the road for those within New Jersey. And understand, look, this may be happening elsewhere. You have a strong leader in Governor DeSantis putting in a bill to protect children in the younger age groups, but they're going to start teaching starting in September, so next year, updating the standards put in by Democratic Governor Phil Murphy that teach second graders about genitalia, reproduction, and gender expression. Fifth graders will be required to define masturbation and differentiate between sexual orientation and gender identity. These are all made up terms. Eighth graders will have to define gender identity, gender expression, vaginal sex, oral sex, and anal sex. They're going to be studying this in eighth grade. An eighth grader does not need to be studying something like this from somebody who is perverse. Now, if they're studying the biology of it, that's a different story, but they're studying it from this expression of it. It is very alarming. And also, the Planned Parenthood is excited about this, praised it. These standards also come from what is called the National Sex Standards, sex education standards that states are putting into place. And Governor DeSantis has walked away from that. And also the CDC and et cetera and stuff like that. So who are supportive of this? This is very alarming. Parents are becoming aware of this. And then you also have Governor DeSantis himself signing a bill of parental rights, getting involved in what is going on. And so we want to repent for giving our children over to Caesar and intercede for parents to rise up and raise their children into the destiny and what the Lord has called over their lives, as Proverbs 22:6 talks about. Raise up the child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. And so we see these examples of the sheep and goat leaders and nations and states rising up, and now it's time for us to do something about it. And then I want to point this story out, because this is very alarming and something that I think needs to be on our radar of asking questions about and being responsible as stewards of our nation and of our states. Is Representative Madison Cawthorn, while he's not perfect, he points out a story on a recent podcast, recent episode of a Warrior Poet Society podcast, where he says that people that he looked up to in politics, and obviously this has kind of been known, you know, if you've seen House of Cards, when that whole show came out, people were saying some of it's true, some of it's not. But he says he has been personally asked to go to, with Republican lawmakers, people that he supposedly looks up to, who are on the forefront of the war on drugs and et cetera, go to orgies and drug-filled sex parties, where he has personally seen lawmakers do cocaine during time in Washington, D.C. If this isn't a red flag alarm that goes off in our heads, we have, and we talked about, Todd Tarn talked about this on Friday, we need to repent for the things that we're not dealing with. And I would call on Cawthorn to call these people out. Let's let this stuff be known. Let's get it exposed. These people are doing this, and it's affecting them. Obviously, you know, Mitch McConnell was literally known as Cocaine Mitch. But yet he still keeps being put back in office. Let us awaken to the realities and the lack of integrity. And why are we surprised when these people who don't have integrity in private don't have integrity in public? So I close with that as a something to be watchful for, but also as we focus on today of proceeding with the Lord on knowing what to do as the disciples did with Jesus after his death and resurrection during the last moments of his time on earth, of being examples of being the light for the gospel of the kingdom in this nation so that souls can be saved now and in the future. And we want to not get so downtrodden on the darkness that's going on, because God's kingdom is still thriving. It is still surviving through all of this, and in the end, if you've read till the end, you know we win, as a lot of theologians have said. So I bless each and every one of you for following along with me today, and some good, some bad, and some things to be hopeful for, and knowing how to focus on things towards the future. So don't forget, today we have our noon prayer for those entry proposal. We'll be in the sanctuary, and if not, for those online, we have on all our channels for you to be able to follow along and join us in with prayer for this nation and the destiny of our nation and the world and God's kingdom involved in that. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.